Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. This year marks the 100th anniversary of Mother's Day. Though signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson, it was an activist named Anna Jarvis who is credited as the true mother of Mother's Day. One of the few places you can learn more about her contribution to history is at the Hallmark Visitors Center in Kansas City, which is a little ironic given that Jarvis was obstinately against greeting cards and candy and other commercial aspects of the holiday celebration. Andrew Phillips is curator of the Woodrow Wilson Presidential Library and Museum in Staunton, Virginia, which is also hosting an exhibit on Anna Jarvis and the origins of Mother's Day, and joins us now with more. Andrew, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me.
What inspired Jarvis to lobby for the creation of Mother's Day?
Ironically enough, it was primarily her own mother. Anne Maria Reeves Jarvis was a leader in the suffrage movement and was particularly active during the Civil War. She started what were called Mother's Day work clubs, which gave help and care to wounded soldiers from both the Union and Confederate side. And she was active with Susan B. Anthony, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and many of the names that are much more familiar to people.
So this daughter of a suffragette, Anna Jarvis, lobbies for the holiday. What did she think it should be about?
Well, in the early stages, it was a much more radical idea of the holiday beyond what we have today. It was seen very much as a way to encourage women of all types to think on their contributions and what they could achieve and where they could go. It became the more commercial holiday where it becomes a much more personal thing. Maybe that's a better way to say it. It became a more personal holiday where I'm honoring my own mother and my own grandmother, as opposed to mothers as a whole.
Mm-hmm. The collective mother, I guess.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So she made an appeal to the president, and Wilson signed the proclamation making the second Sunday of May Mother's Day. What happened next is a little surprising. Can you give us the narrative?
Well, it takes a little while to pick up, like any brand new holiday. It was originally came through Congress as one of those congressional joint resolutions, perhaps akin to the bills that go through renaming the post office. There's not usually a lot of opposition to those, I suppose. But as the holiday grew, particularly in the 1920s, it became the more personal holiday. Hallmark enters into the picture about that time when they start producing Mother's Day cards. And Jarvis was disappointed with the way the holiday developed, to the point that she at one point is arrested for disturbing the peace by protesting against it. Later in her life, she says that she wished she hadn't even bothered starting the holiday, seeing the way it went.
So the holiday that she petitioned for, she begins to petition to take it back.
Yes. She was less successful with that second petition, though.
And interesting because, you know, we've come to call Mother's Day a Hallmark holiday, but it really was Hallmark kind of taking it on board to sell cards?
I suppose you could say that. Mm-hmm. Hallmark and many other companies, they were not alone.
Yeah, and I read actually online that the Florist Telegraph Delivery, which we now know as FTD, actually tried to win Jarvis over by offering her a commission on carnation sales. Do you know if that's true?
I've heard similar rumors. I don't think I've ever seen the source material for that. But the carnations, I mean, they were a big part of Mother's Day. When she originally started the holiday prior to Congress getting involved, she handed out some 500 white carnations to the guests at the very first Mother's Day service, which was held at a church in West Virginia.
She had a pretty sad end as well. What can you tell us about the trajectory of Anna Jarvis?
Well, it's unfortunate, obviously. She was very much a part of the greater women's rights movement that led to the national right to vote and the amendment that gave that right. And she, I believe she passed away in the mid-late 40s, but she was never as well-known as some of her contemporaries, wasn't honored the way they were, and became known as the critic of Mother's Day. And it's difficult to become popular when you're railing against the holiday where you're telling your mother how much you love her.
How do you think Jarvis would feel now? I mean, the holiday today, according to Hallmark, racks up sales. Around 130 million Mother's Day cards will be exchanged this May. What do you think Anna Jarvis would have to say about that?
I suppose it would depend on if she got a fuller view of how we deal with holidays today, compared to Christmas, maybe, or Halloween. Mother's Day is small potatoes in the commercialization department. But again, it really just ties back to she wasn't looking to a personal holiday as much as she was one of women's empowerment, I suppose you could say.
So there is a little exhibit on Anna Jarvis at the Woodrow Wilson Presidential Library where you work, but also, as we mentioned, one at the Hallmark Visitor Center in Kansas City. Did you have anything to do with that as a Wilson scholar?
Yes, actually, Hallmark and the library worked very closely. We exchanged a number of different objects. They gave us about 40 Mother's Day cards ranging from the mid-1920s until today. One of my favorite parts of it is that the one from the late 20s is 25 cents, and you can buy one today for $8. That includes a magnetic removable frame. But we also gave them a number of objects relating to Wilson and to the women in his life, particularly his own mother, the mother of his children, and his three daughters. Mm-hmm. So we worked very closely with them.
All right. Is it just me, but is it a little ironic that the commercialized holiday that we now call a Hallmark holiday that Anna Jarvis railed against is dedicating an exhibit to her at the Hallmark Visitor Center?
I suppose it is a little bit. Hard to say otherwise. But again, it's important to understand, I suppose, the origins of these things. We could look at Christmas again. It's the German Christmas trees and everything that we now see is so instrumental. It was looked at by the Puritans as something to be banned and not celebrated at all. So we've come a long way with a lot of different holidays in this country.
Andrew Phillips, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Andrew Phillips, curator of the Woodrow Wilson Presidential Library and Museum. That's in Staunton, Virginia. Mother's Day is coming up on May 11th, so do not forget to spend some quality time with the mothers in your life. You can tell them Anna Jarvis would not have approved of chocolates anyway.
Mama, you raised me right. Mama, showed me the light. Mama, through pain and strife. Mama, you gave us life.
When I fell down, you were there to pick me up. When I felt bad, you were there to build me up. Gave everything you had in the world to me. And you made me the man I'm supposed to be.
Jane, even though I don't say it often enough, I appreciate everything you did for us. Never take it for granted, cause it ain't hard to see. The best parts of you were now a part of me. Oh, Mama.
And when it was cold outside, you kept us warm and held us down.
Mom, get out! Oh, in the studio!
Just checking on my guy.
You're making a track, you idiot! Just leave!
Go!
Give my one true love, my heart, my mom.
If you'd like to embrace the ideals of Anna Jarvis this Mother's Day, we recommend thinking outside of the gift box and doing something unexpected and meaningful. Something as simple, perhaps, as sitting down for an intimate conversation. Our next story comes from StoryCorps and allows us to listen one-on-one to one of those intimate moments that can only be shared between a mother and a child. In this case, a very famous mother and a very famous child.
Hi, my name is Yoko Ono Lennon. My age is 77. Location is in New York City. And relationship to partner, I am his mom.
Hi, my name is Sean Lennon, or Sean Ono Lennon, or Sean Taro Ono Lennon. Taro being my Japanese name. And I'm her son. So, I get to ask you the questions today. And I'm so often, and you're so often, asked about the Beatles and John Lennon, which is interesting, but I think it would be really nice if we could talk about your life. So how is it that you were born?
I was born from my mother, who is a Yasuda, and my father, who is an Ono.
And you were essentially disowned from the Ono family, right, because of...
having a very kind of outlandish life.
Right, because they're such a posh conservative family.
Well, you know, my father was a banker, but he was an independent spirit. He was a very good pianist and very much into music.
And he taught you piano, or did you have a piano teacher?
I had a piano teacher because I was born when my father was already in San Francisco.
And your dad was banking here?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so you're saying you hadn't met him before?
Oh, yes.
And you remember meeting him? How old
were
you?
Was big. I was 2.5 years old. And the time that I met him, my mother and my father was kissing, and I was looking like this, you know, like, well, maybe he's going to kiss me too.
And he hadn't seen Grandma in 2.5 years?
Yeah.
She must have been so lonely.
Well, probably. But you know, the thing is, you see, my mother was a beautiful, beautiful woman from a very rich family. And my father, that just upset him, you know.
So he felt sort of insecure a little bit.
But you know what happened? So my mother didn't mean it badly, but a chauffeur would take him to the bank every morning. And he said, I don't want to do that because they're going to see me in a Rolls Royce.
So funny, because remember, I would really be upset when you made me go to school in a limo.
Yeah, I know. So the thing is, he insisted that the car would stop 2 blocks from the bank.
That's exactly what I did, remember?
And he walked.
Wait, but do you remember I would make the... Well, maybe you don't know, but I used to make the limo driver stop 2 blocks from my school so I could walk to school because everyone else took the bus and you wouldn't let me take the bus because that was a dangerous time.
There was a lot of
people trying to, like, kidnap me and stuff.
I know.
But anyway, it's just so funny that I had the exact same experience.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So it's probably kind of like a DNA memory or something.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, that was a really fun talk, Mom. Thank you so much. I wish more interviews were like that.
Sean Lennon there speaking with his mother, Yoko Ono, as part of StoryCorps' National Day of Listening in 2010. If you'd like to share that conversation, you can find a link on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Well, all that has inspired my maternal instincts. So let me ask, did you get your flu shot this year? Do you plan to next year? Well, you may want to get in line. When Word of Mouth continues, the cure for flu vaccine shortages may be found in one of the world's most suspect plants, tobacco. Stay with us for that story when Word of Mouth continues here on NHPR.